I'm going to get back into the book of John. We've kind of taught along the lines of some of our theme Sundays, but I want to get back into the Gospel of John as we're going to try to teach through that this year in our class. About every 2 to 3 years, I like to pick one of the Gospels and just teach through it. And sometimes I'll do it on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or preach through it on a Sunday morning. And this year I felt like this is something we could do with our adult class. And it's been profitable for me already. We've been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been introduced to the different names of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spent an entire week talking about the deity of Christ. And so then also we've put the spotlight on him and his connection to the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Today I want to talk about John the Baptist, and we could teach several lessons on this, but I'm going to stay mostly in John. I'll reference a few of the other Gospels that tell us some things about John the Baptist. I got to thinking about this. I'm really glad as a young preacher that early on I made one of my Bible heroes John the Baptist. If a young preacher came to me and said, who are some Bible heroes that I could kind of study their lives and look up to, I'd say, well, let's start with Jesus. You know, I don't think you're going to do better than that. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. But I'd probably point him to Elijah and Elisha and John the Baptist. John the Baptist, I think, would be a great example. And I think we'll be able to point out the reasons why. In John chapter 1, verse 6, we read this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Heavenly Father, thank you for the man, the ministry of God, John the Baptist. Thank you, Lord, for what a good example he is to all of us, but I think especially for young preachers. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn some things from his life that would help us to be better for you. And Lord, bless all the other Sunday school classes and all that's going on throughout the day. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're going to take a look mostly, like I said, in the book of John. And I'd like to break down what we know about John. Let me first of all just reference, I won't have you turn there, but there's several things we can learn about John the Baptist. He was a miracle child. I'm going to talk about him as a man mostly, but he was a miracle child. Most of you know in Luke chapter number 1, there was one of the priests by the name of Zacharias. And Zacharias was married to a lady named Elizabeth, and she was barren. They were not able to have children. And then it was Zacharias' turn to go and light the incense in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, in the temple. And while he was in there, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him and not only told him that Elizabeth was going to conceive and bear a child, but said and told him specifically what the purpose of that child was going to be. And so here God performed a miracle in the birth and the gift of John the Baptist. When I say he was a miracle child, I don't mean that he performed miracles. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that John performed no miracles. When I say he was a miracle child, it didn't mean that he performed miracles. It means he was a miracle. And, you know, preacher, is this the days of miracles? Yes, it is. So people are performing miracles. No, people are becoming miracles. And, you know, that's true for each and every one of us. So very unusual man. There's not another prophet that I know of in the Bible. We see a lot of prophecies connected to Jesus and the messianic prophecies that tell us about Jesus and when he was going to be born. But the Old Testament also contains prophecies about John the Baptist and reminds us that God was going to send a forerunner, someone to bear witness, someone to go before and prepare the way of the Lord. And we see that this is primarily the ministry of John the Baptist. So he was a miracle child. And then we get this in verse number 6. There was a man sent from God who was whose name was John. And so I wrote down he was a miracle child. Number 2, he was a sent man. He was a man that was sent from God. Now, that means that from his mother's womb, he was created for a very specific purpose. And I reference this often, but we read in the book of Jeremiah that God told Jeremiah the very same thing, that he created him from his mother's womb to be a prophet unto the nations. Well, in a very real way, all of us are formed by the hands of God. All of us are created for divine purposes. But when it comes to John the Baptist, he was literally gifted and formed in his mother's womb for a very specific ministry, and that was to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was a man that was sent from God. You remember the encounter. There's so many. If you want to read some things that I'm not going to really get into in the lesson here a whole lot about John the Baptist, it's interesting, then go to the first chapter of Luke and read Luke's account. There's a lot of neat background about John the Baptist. After Mary is told that she's going to bear the Christ child, and after she conceives the Christ child through the Holy Spirit, through a ministry of the Holy Spirit, a miracle of the Holy Spirit, she goes and sees Elizabeth, her cousin. They were cousins. And as soon as Mary greeted them, knocked on the door and greeted them, John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. And literally from his womb, he was prepared, and there was this connection between him and Jesus Christ. They were cousins. Think about that. They were cousins. I preached a message one Christmas, I think it was, entitled Two Cousins That Changed the World. And so John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. John the Baptist was uniquely prepared, but he was a man that was sent from God. And then the Bible says whose name was John. Again, I'm kind of going back and referencing some things. But, you know, after Zacharias doubted the angel Gabriel when he came and told him about his wife bearing a child, Gabriel struck him dumb. He wasn't able to speak until his child, till John was born. And they tried to name him because Gabriel said, you know what? Your wife will have a child and you're going to name him John. So the family tried to name him after Zacharias. And Zacharias asked for something to write on, wrote, his name is John. And after that, God loosed his tongue. And so you think about the connection. His name was John because God named him that. He sent through his messenger, this is what his name is going to be. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I know that he was sent for a very unique purpose. We're going to talk about him being a preacher. But aren't you glad that God's sending in every generation, God still creates and he still forms in preachers for the preaching of the gospel. And he's still sending men into the ministry, still sending men to say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But he was a sent man. He didn't volunteer for this. He was made by God for this. And I think one of the greatest pieces of advice I can give to any of our young people is this. Find out why God created you and do it. Find out why God created you and just do it. And that doesn't mean that every one of our young men, God's created to be a preacher, to be in full-time Christian service, but whatever he's created you to be, do it, be it, and be who God made you to be. So John the Baptist, a miracle child, he was a sent man. And then we look in verses 7 and 8, he was a witnessing man. This is where I like making John the Baptist one of my heroes. You know, he was a witnessing man. And so we read verse number 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And this is something that all of us can have in common with John the Baptist and do have in common with John the Baptist, because God has sent every single one of us to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to point people to Jesus. But he took this thing seriously. The Bible says he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And if you look over in the same chapter, verse number 29, you see where he finally gets an opportunity to do this, and he did it. Verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus cometh unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So John didn't fail in his mission to be a man that witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to fail in that either. I've kind of rededicated myself. I'll be honest with you. I've been pretty good about passing tracts out, but I found out in the last few months, I just kind of caught myself not doing it as faithfully. And so a couple weeks ago, I just really recommitted myself to carrying gospel tracts with me. Have you ever been caught in those situations where it's a perfect opportunity for me to hand a tract and then I don't have one on me? And, I found out a secret about that. If I don't take any with me, I don't have any on me. You know, it took me a while to kind of get there, but I finally kind of figured out why sometimes I went like that and they were not there. So I really tried to really commit myself to this. And you know why? I don't want to fail to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know every opportunity, every interaction with people out there does not afford us the time or the opportunity to really maybe take a Bible and sit down like we'd like to and take 20 minutes and explain to somebody the plan of salvation. But you know what? Gospel tracts is still one of the greatest ways to just be able to give a good word out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And, if you can say something very short while you're giving them a track out, you can just say, hey, I don't know if you know for sure. If you died, you'd go to heaven, but this little piece of paper here, it gives you Bible verses that tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And would you mind reading this and then hold it out to them? You say, does everybody take them? Most people do. Most people do. I mean, it's been a while since I've had somebody say no. I do every once in a while have somebody say no, thank you. And you know what? That's not the end of the world. It's not my responsibility what they do with the opportunity. It's my responsibility to present the opportunity. And so he was a witnessing man. Let's all kind of just let the Lord stop here and remind us. We've all got not just an obligation, but I think a wonderful opportunity. The fact that God allows us to be co-laborers with him in getting the gospel out and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ is, I think, one of the greatest honors that God has bestowed upon us. And so let's be witnesses. But ye shall be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so let's not fail in this matter of witnessing. So John is doing what God's created him to do. He was a miracle child. All of us, in a sense, is a miracle. He was a sent man. All of us have been sent by God to accomplish something. Find out what God created you to do and do it. Be who God made you to be. He was a witnessing man. I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back and say, boy, I failed in one of the most important responsibilities God gave me. I just failed to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we see in John chapter 1, verse 19, I'm going to jump around in the first chapter, some portions about John here. This is one of the things that I've really grown to grow more and more appreciative about John was his humility. John was a humble man. So look in verse number 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they said, and they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And I think probably everybody ought to underline that question in the Bible. I think it's one of the most important questions anybody can answer for themselves. What sayest thou of thyself? What sayest thou of thyself? And then this is his answer, verse 23. And he said, I am the voice one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now think about the humility of John the Baptist. This is why I would point young men going into the ministry to John the Baptist. I think this is one of the most important things they can learn from him, is to have a humble heart. You know, sometimes young preachers, if they're not careful, I mean, it's an honor to be chosen to preach the gospel. It's an honor to be sent by God and for that to be God's purpose for your life. But, you know, the Bible even warns about the idea of being careful in the ministry, of not putting a novice preacher in the position of a pastor. And the reason it gives that warning is because of the danger of pride. And I think I've watched pride maybe destroy more men in the ministry than almost anything else in the ministry. And one of the things that we all ought to be really aware of is this. You know, listen, if anything good and divine and lasting and eternal is ever accomplished with any of our lives, it's more despite us than it is because of us. You know, let's never forget, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And yesterday at our graduation, and Max graduated, our young people got up and the entire school sang, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And I just loved that. I thought, you know, there's all kinds of songs that would have been great and appropriate for our graduation. But you know what? Thank you. Well, I think Brother Young probably picked that out, but I really appreciate him. Just getting our young people to sing something that reminds them, hey, we've had a great school year, and God's allowed us to accomplish a lot of things, but you know what? To God be the glory, great things he hath done. You know, one of the things that a young preacher asked me the other day, he said, preacher, just stop me real quick. Just give me a real quick piece of advice. I said this, I've been saying it a lot lately. I said, do as much as you can for the Lord, and then draw as little attention to it as possible. Do as much as you can for the Lord, and then draw as little attention to it as possible. Because, you know, one of the things that James, in the book of James, I think is so important, teaches us is God and how he deals with pride and how he deals with those who become proud. And the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now that means I got a choice, okay? I choose to be proud, I can be guaranteed, because God keeps his word. If he puts it in the Bible, then he has to keep it. And so if I become proud, you know, God, his position in my life becomes one of resistance. And you think about that, you know, where every single day before I put my feet, okay, on the floor for the first time, can you imagine God standing there waiting? And everything I'm going to try to accomplish that day, he's going to resist me. Who do you think is going to win that battle, okay? And so I don't want that. I want grace. And so the more that I humble myself, the more that I stay humble before the Lord, the better chance I have getting the grace of God that I need to accomplish, and even to be able to accomplish things that I would not be able to accomplish without him. And I think it's good. I think it's good for all of us to hear that. It's a wonderful thing to be used of the Lord, but it's also a dangerous thing to be used of the Lord. Whether it's a preacher, whether it's somebody that sings a special, whether it's somebody that wins somebody to Christ, or, you know, teaches a Sunday school class. I don't care what position you have. You know what? We all got to be careful, because pretty soon the devil's going to come sit on your shoulder and say, hey, you're pretty good at this. You're pretty good at this. Look at all you're accomplishing. You know, what got the devil in trouble, folks? You know, the old preachers used to say he had eye problems, you know, and he started saying I. Let's just say the Lord. Any good thing that happens, let's just give him all the glory. I think the Lord guided me to a life verse right after I got called to preach that has really helped me and served me well and kept me grounded in this area. Because, folks, listen to me. I think that pride is one of the things that every single Christian will have to battle with from time to time. Okay, I'm not immune from it. You're not immune from it. And I've got to be so careful. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, God led me to this verse when he kind of, I think, solidified and settled the matter of God's call on my life. But Paul wrote this under inspiration of God, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, you know, Will, Brother Ali, we'd say, you know, man, outside of Jesus Christ, Paul may have been the greatest Christian of the New Testament. And yet if you ask Paul, you know what he'd say? He'd say, no, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And then you know what? We kind of start listening to that thinking, okay, maybe that's why God could use him the way he did. Matter of fact, God used him in such an enormous way that God also gave him a thorn in the flesh. And he gives him the reason why. He said, lest I be lifted up beyond measure. I mean, you're used to the extent that Paul is used. It would be very easy to start getting a big head about it. And so God purposely gave him a thorn in the flesh to humble him while he used him. I think all of that should just tell us, let's just stay humble, okay? Because one of the best ways to allow, you know, okay, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble, giveth the grace to the humble. And he promises that, you know what? He will exalt those that are humble. He'll lift us up if we'll do the right thing. Now, let me have you go over verse 26, verse 27, because before I get off this, I want to bring you this other verse. This is important. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. I just point that verse out because, again, humility of John the Baptist. Amazing man. And you know what he said? He said, listen, the one that comes after me is preferred before me. Don't think I'm anything. You ought to see who's coming up behind me. And he went on to say, you know what? I'm not even worthy to reach down and unloose or unlatch his shoes. And I think if we can raise our young people to have a Christ confidence, I want them to have that. I want them to believe I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But I also want them to be really careful to keep a humility about them while they're serving the Lord. Isn't this quite the man? I think a good example for all of us. So, all right, where are we at? He was a miracle child. He was a sent man. He was a witnessing man. He was a humble man. Number five, he was a preacher man. He was a preacher. Now, I'm going to have you just mark your place in John. Let me have you go over to Matthew chapter 3, and we will go over there because it says more about the preaching of John the Baptist in Matthew than it does here in the book of John. In Matthew chapter number 3, and the first couple verses, so I'll go ahead and save John chapter 1 there. The Bible says, in those days, Matthew 3:1, in those days came John the Baptist, there it is, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And this is one of the main messages of John the Baptist, verse 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he was a preacher man. And a preaching man. And you know what? He was a man that preached repentance. There are several things we can learn about the preaching of John the Baptist. Now, think about this, folks, because this is so important. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, and I don't have the verse in front of me, but he promised the disciples he'd bring a comforter. And he said, when he has come, he will convince the world of three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, think about that. You know, John the Baptist is such an important, his life contains and his preaching contains such an important lesson for us to understand how a person can and should receive Jesus Christ. There was a forerunner that was necessary before Jesus came. There was some type of preaching that was important to prepare the heart of people to accept Jesus as the Messiah. And if you look at the preaching of John the Baptist, repentance is what is preached. The Holy Spirit uses three great doctrines of the Bible to prepare a man to receive the gospel. The Holy Spirit came to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now think about that. The sinfulness of man, It has to be preached on. You know, when many of the evangelical churches and the contemporary churches, and, you know, Joel Osteen, you can watch the interview. I'm not making this up, where he basically, while he was being interviewed, said, you know, sin doesn't exist on the menu at my church. We just don't preach about sin at all. Well, how in the world can somebody get saved if they don't realize they're a sinner? And if we're not careful, well, we want to preach the gospel. Well, there's some things that have to be preached before someone's ready to receive the gospel. The sinfulness of man, the righteousness of God, and coming judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit, his great work amongst the lost is to convince men of sin, the sinfulness of men, the righteousness, the holiness of God. And then as a result of that disparity, okay, then there's going to be judgment because of what that tells us. For all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. And so, folks, when we compare our sinfulness to the holiness of God, we immediately realize we've got a problem. We've got a situation here. Because God's a holy God and heaven's a holy place. And how in the world can sinful men be allowed in the presence of a holy God and be allowed to live eternity in a holy place? Well, the reason that the only way that's going to happen is if something gets our sin's got to be taken care of somehow. And, you know, I think we need to get back. I just said this to a group of young preachers here just not that long ago. I said, gentlemen, we need to get back to preaching against sin again and back to the holiness of God again, and then the coming judgment. There's just not enough mention from the pulpit on the subject of hell. There's not enough preaching on the lake of fire. And folks, if you think about it, when you got saved, you know what? When God was preparing you and the Holy Spirit was convicting you, getting you ready to the place where you could receive Christ, you know what? Your sinfulness. Somebody pointed out to you from the Bible, some preacher preached from a pulpit about sin. And then the holiness of God. And then the coming judgment. Well, you think about this. John the Baptist was kind of that forerunner of Jesus Christ. If he's preaching repentance, they have to repent from something. And they have to have a reason to realize that where they're at isn't good enough. And so, you know, you think about that. So always support, you know, your preacher and any other preacher out there that's willing to preach on sin. And you know what? I think one of the things that the less we've preached about sin, the less we've preached about the holiness of God. I think it was a couple years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I probably ought to do it again, but I think it was March, but I took an entire month a couple years ago, and Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, for every service for an entire month, we preached on the subject of the holiness of God. And I remember my mom was still alive there then, and she came to me after the month was over, and she said, Jerry, I feel like that has set such a reset button in my heart, in my life. And I think, honestly, she said, in the church, in our church. That was so needed. Thank you. And folks, we can't, listen, this is our temptation. Okay, to try to make our sinfulness less sinful and to make God's holiness less holy. And when we start messing around with those two things, then you know what? There's no reason to fear judgment and there's no reason to be saved. And so John the Baptist was a preacher and he preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so that was one of his great themes. If you'll go back to John chapter 1, verse 29, I've already read this, but I think another great theme of his preaching, we see in verse 29, he preached about Jesus and who he was. So in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And so here he is, he's preaching on repentance, he's preaching on you better get ready, he's preaching on sinfulness, because if we go back, we could go to the book of Mark and see this, but boy, he wasn't just preaching about sin, he was calling out specific sins. He was preaching on the sins of the people that he was preaching to. Imagine that. You know, sometimes through the years, you'll get this accusation as a preacher. Well, I think you just hit that because you know what's going on in my family. Yeah, I probably did. Look right up here. My job is to preach to this church, not somebody else's church. Okay, let me just challenge you. So I don't know about that. I know you've been brainwashed, and I'm trying to unwash your brainwashing, okay? When God had the Apostle Paul write to the church of Corinth, did he deal with the sins of the church in Galatia? So which sins did he deal with? The sins of the church where? In Corinth. You know why? He was writing to Corinth. And so, you know, this whole idea that a preacher isn't allowed to mention any sin of anything that might be going on in his church. Well, that's going to take out a lot of stuff, okay? And if you do, then all of a sudden it's you're just going after me or you're just going after. But first of all, why are you trying to kill me? Maybe it's the Holy Spirit going after you. You ever think about that? But, you know, if you think about it, folks, good night. Doesn't the Bible tell the preachers know the state of your flock? And I'll tell you, every preacher who's wise looks for and listens for tendencies. Because you know what, folks? You notice Jesus taught this. If you get sin, and leaven is a part of a type of sin, if you get a little sin of a specific kind in the church and it's not dealt with, a little leaven does what? And you know what you notice is when somebody is doing wrong and it's not confronted, and then it begins to influence other people to think it's okay to do that wrong and okay to do that wrong, at some point, a good pastor is going to stand up and say, okay, folks, I think we need to hit a reset button. Let's go back to our King James Holy Bible and see what God says about this. And hey, if it's not going on in your life, you don't have a thing to worry about it. If it is, let's take care of it. That's called pastoring well. That is doing the right thing. And I've had some of our men that want to say that the only type of preaching you should do is expository preaching. I said in our lecture one time where a man was trying to defend that. By the way, Jesus preached topically. I mean, come on. You know, I guess he should have went to that lecture and learned from that man how to preach. You know, or the man could go to Jesus and learn how to preach. But one of the things what he's saying was, in defense of expository preaching, was, well, if you always preach expository, then you know what? That way you'll never be tempted to go after something that's going on to your church, because the next thing you're going to preach is controlled by the expository preaching. And I'm like, okay, so in other words, you just told these preachers it's wrong to try to correct something that's going on in your church. It's not wrong, it's right to do that. That's part of the responsibility. When he saw the Roman soldiers in the crowd, John, he preached on the sins of the Roman soldiers. When he saw the Pharisees in the crowd, he preached on the sins of the Pharisees. By the way, so did Jesus. Okay? And so no matter what he saw, he preached against what they were doing. Why? Because he was just mean-spirited. No, because preaching on sin, come on, the sinfulness of man, the righteousness of God in coming judgment is what brings people to Jesus Christ. I think that's the reason that a man like Nicodemus said, hey, could we meet sometime, maybe after dark at night? Okay, I think that's the reason a man named Joseph of Arimathea, first secretly and then very publicly, became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes you have to fix, and I don't think you all think that way, but you're going to hear that sometime. But we need to preach on that. And I was preaching in Ohio this past week for Sunday night through Wednesday night. And there was a man that attends a different church that came to one of the services. And I preached on, not the entire sermon, but I hit on the subject of hell during the sermon. And he came to me afterwards and he said, you know, he said, I've been in the same church for 40 years. He said, we had a really good pastor. Last 8 years, we've had a man I don't know if we can continue. And I'm always very careful about this, folks. Listen to me. You know, you're only hearing one side of the story, okay? When somebody wants to come up and criticize their preacher, I get always a little careful. But one of the things he said to me, and I said, well, you know, I should take a step back. I'm sure he's a good man. And he said, well, preacher, the thing that bothered me is he said he met with the men in the church And he told them, I'm not preaching ever on the subject of hell. People have been beat over the head with that for years, and I'm just never going to go there. And I said, well, if that's what he actually said, he's wrong. I said, Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven. Again, let's go to our example, okay? Let's look what Jesus did. And so, again, I just what the man told me, I don't know for sure, but I thought to myself, you know, it's things like that. What do you mean people have been beat over the head about it for years? Come on. If anything, we haven't preached enough about hell. If we want to make an accusation over the last 25, 30 years, it's not that preachers are preaching too much about hell and too much about sin. It's that we're not preaching enough about it. And so we've got to be careful, because I thought somehow somebody said something to that preacher. He's got that thinking in his head, and it's unbiblical thinking. And so we got to be careful about that. So anyway, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. And so he preached on repentance. He preached on Jesus and pointed people to Jesus and told them why Jesus came. Behold, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, that which taketh away the sin of the world, preaching the gospel. And then we see that he also preached against the sins of his times, even the sins of politicians. Can you imagine that? It's another criticism you'll get from time to time. Well, I went to your church and you got into politics. I don't get into politics, I get into the Bible. And if the Bible hits politicians, then we let it hit politicians. Nobody gets a free ride, free pass. But Herod, you know, when he heard about Jesus Christ, he thought it was John that was risen from the dead. The Bible says, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Amen. So this one man was quite the preacher. He was a baptizing man. We're going to have a baptism this morning, Lord willing. And he was a man that not only baptized people, but baptized Jesus Christ also. I'm trying to hurry. We're about done. Number 7, he was a faithful man. And one of the most amazing things that Jesus says about any person is what he said about John. Matthew 11, verse 9. But what went ye out for to see? Talking about the people that went to hear John the Baptist preach. A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he is least in the kingdom of heaven. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And, you know, at the end of our lives, folks, you know, Herodias, Herod's wife, hated John the Baptist, hated, plotted his murder. And so he had that. He had Herod that feared him. He had some of the people that listened to him and a lot of people that didn't. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think one of the great things about John the Baptist is, you know what? All he cared about was what Jesus thought of him. And I think that would be a good lesson for us to kind of take at the end of our time here. I talked to a Christian lady. Me and my wife talked to a Christian lady here a while back. And she said to me, she said out loud to us, she said, one of the biggest things I battle is thinking too much about what people think about me. And you know what, folks? I understand we all need to be careful of our testimony. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? If you just kind of take all of that and set it off the side, and the main concern of your life is, what would Jesus say about me? Would he count me faithful? You know, because, you know, some people hated John. Some people plotted to murder John. Some people listened to John. Some people didn't listen to John. When it came down to it, I think, you know what? The thing that mattered to John was, what would Jesus say about me? I hope that helps us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this extraordinary man. And Lord, for his ministry. And Lord, it wasn't a long ministry. It was a very specific ministry. It was a very short ministry. But it was a very important ministry. And so I pray, Lord, that we'd take what we can from his life and his example, and Lord, help it to help us be better for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.